All right, this is KKFN, KKFN HD1, Longmont, Denver.
The 5 o'clock whistle, powered by smart local union 9 sheet metal workers.
Who win it now?
Quiet night. It will be a quiet night in the Denver sports scene for the most part. Nuggets off tonight after a win last night. They went out to the 305 down there in South Beach, and they beat the Heat, figuratively and literally, 100-88 last night. The Nuggets on top of their finals opponent from just a few months back now, about last year at this stage. 10-1 Denver is, and NBA's best since the All-Star break. Jokic only 12 points, 14 rebounds, 6 assists. It was MPJ who led the way with 25 points last night and 7 rebounds. Since the All-Star break, so 11 games, Michael Porter Jr. averaging 20.5 points, 7.6 rebounds, shooting nearly 55% from the floor. That's the type of MPJ this team needs
MPJ
in the playoffs.
MPJ, you're talking about MPJ averaging 20 points? When's the last time he did that? Wasn't it his second year in the league? Where it was his second full year of playing where he was averaging 19 points a game, I want to say. And now all of a sudden he's starting to come into his all at the right time. Consistency, Matt. Consistency is what I want to continue to see out of this man.
Especially because his shooting splits are fantastic. 50, 40, 90. You're going to sign up for that every day of the week and twice on Sundays.
Yeah.
The Nuggets have kicked it into playoff push mode. How about this stat I saw today? On January 12th, the Nuggets were 9-12 against teams above 500 that they played. 9-12. So under 3 games under 500 against teams above 500. Well, now the Nuggets are 24-16 against teams above 500. Now, as Jake Shapiro pointed out on social media at DenverSports.com today, most of those 9-12, the 12 losses, a lot of those games were played without Jamal Murray when he missed time earlier this year. But ever since January 12th, well, the Nuggets are 15-4 against teams over 500.
And that's because they've been able to stay healthy. People like MPJ are starting to come around. We've talked about it, and Zach and I both agreed that if you had somebody like Michael Porter Jr. that consistently can get you there 20 points a game, the Denver Nuggets are unbeatable. You have Jamal Murray, you got MPJ, you got Jokic, then you got Aaron Gordon that does the dirty work, KCP, and then our bench is starting to come around. So, man, if MPJ can stay consistent, they're going to continue to win a lot of games.
It feels like we're really witnessing a transitioning of the guard in the NBA. I'm watching the Laker game last night.
Oh, I forgot you told me you were going to do
LeBron,
it.
LeBron, I mean, they lost. They got swept by the Kings 4-0, the Kings against the Lakers this year. Anthony Davis, in games that he and Domantas Sabonis have both played, Anthony Davis lifetime 0-10 against Sabonis.
Anthony Davis.
He's been getting worked by all the big Euros. Yes. He has been.
He has. He just can't find it.
Nobody plays basketball more on the floor than Anthony Davis. For being that big, he goes down real quick, doesn't he, KJ?
Joel Embiid does a great job. Both of them are human mops, man. They just spend more time mopping up the floor than they do putting.
They don't need a mop boy over there, huh?
They sure don't.
No, they don't.
Free throws. AD, get on the ground.
Nuggets this year, 13-0 against the Heat, the Celtics, the Warriors, the Lakers, and the Mavericks.
Ooh.
But think about that. The Heat, they've had their moment in the sun.
Yeah.
As I'm sitting there watching the game, I don't know about you guys last night, but was it not a little remarkable sitting there? I know Tyler Hero's not playing, but that team made the finals last year. Really? The East is down, man. The East is down in a real way. The balance of power is all out of whack in the NBA. But if you think about it, Warriors, Lakers, I mean, there's a transitioning in the guard right now, isn't there, Phil?
There is.
I mean, the time of KD. I mean, he's still hanging on. They're still playing, you know, producing at a high level.
He beat us up at the end, man.
Yeah, no question.
But you're right, man. There's a big change going on.
You can feel it.
Can you feel it coming in the air tonight?
That's when you finish.
Oh, Lord.
Somebody, God, you guys missed opportunity with an oh, Lord. Okay, but I do think that there is a transition because James Harden, everybody was, Clippers are coming. Everybody watch out for the Clippers now that they have James Harden. The Clippers got worked by Minnesota by almost 20 points the other night.
Yeah, man, I was the one kind of saying, watch out for the Clippers.
Yeah, well, you were wrong. The Clippers are who we thought they were. The Clippers, come on.
And they can't stay healthy.
It's the Clippers. KJ, were you ever in on this Clippers, the version of the Clippers?
I was for a small period of time. Too, yeah, they got me, but now got they've come back too. Down to earth.
I know Drew wasn't. I know Drew wasn't. Drew always knew what the Clippers were.
I almost
Drew was the culprit.
No. I almost got suckered in because they got on that little run there.
Yeah,
I was like, okay, maybe.
We did a poll, and I asked Drew or Drew.
You asked Drew. Yeah, yeah. What did Drew say back then?
Yeah, because he likes to sleep on the job sometimes. So I asked Drew.
Wow.
I asked Drew to let me know like who's gonna make it tough on the Denver Nuggets. Mm-hmm. He told me to put the Clippers in there. I got a lot of heat for it.
You got a lot of heat for it. Well, you should have.
Did I say Clippers?
You did.
I know. I know three teams I said.
And the Warriors.
You
did.
No, I said Minnesota.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I said Oklahoma City, even though I don't think they're there yet. They're not at that level yet.
Right.
I said maybe a healthy Phoenix, which that's, you know, who knows.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I did say the Warriors.
You said the Warriors.
Yeah, I think I did.
And watch out for the Clippers because they're starting to
they are starting to heat up, yeah. So I threw in like those four or five teams. But don't sleep on New Orleans either. Just saying.
Sleep up for what purpose? What are we talking about?
To give Denver a series.
Like
they're
a
not,
run.
They're not
a run in
Denver.
The playoffs, right?
They could knock a team off in the first round.
Okay.
I wouldn't bet
as
money
long
on
as
it,
the, as long as the Nuggets are healthy, I haven't seen another team match their level of play this year.
Yeah.
I just haven't. And that includes everybody in the East. I know Milwaukee's starting to play a little bit better. It'll be curious to see who comes out of the East because everybody's got, you know, a thing for Boston right now.
Yeah, I'm like you, man. I don't know if Boston makes it out of there, man.
The Celtics are just the standing.
I was not pleased or like, oh, okay, the Celtics can really, really play with us when they played them the other night.
Mm-hmm.
It was kind of like, okay, I guess if they get hot on the three. Because they like to shoot so much that they could be dangerous. But when you live by the three, you die by the three.
I'm sorry to Derek's dad if you're listening. Sometimes he listens to us, and I know the White family well, so I'm sorry. I don't mean it. I hope they prove us wrong. The one thing the Nuggets got last night that they don't typically get, 24 bench points.
Ooh,
they only
score
100. They got 24 bench points, including seven biggies from Reggie Jackson down the stretch. And it was Jamal Murray and Kentavious Caldwell-Pope sitting at the scorer's table, according to Michael Malone, in the fourth quarter, saying, Coach, these guys are playing well. Let them ride. Let it ride. You know, sometimes you're at the craps table. You know, Buffs
Getting
are
hot.
In Vegas. Rams are in Vegas. Sometimes you're sitting there. You go, hey, got to let it ride. Got to let it ride. And last night, Michael Malone against, you know, his maybe gut feelings or his intuition stayed with Reggie and Christian Brown, and those guys primarily closed out the game up until Malone felt like he needed to reinsert Jamal Murray. What was it, less than 2 minutes left?
My man was sitting there stretching, trying to tell Coach, hey, Coach, don't put me in.
Well, then what happened, right? So Jamal checks into the game because the Nuggets couldn't inbound the basketball, and Malone said, all right, that's enough. I held back as long as I possibly could. I cannot restrain myself anymore. Jamal, get in the game. So Murray's like stretching, and I'm sitting there thinking to myself, you got this guy. He's ice cold.
No,
he's been sitting on the bench for 15 minutes.
It.
Not a good call. Like, you can't get one press break run effectively without Jamal Murray on the floor. These guys are pros. You should be able to do that.
Oh, yeah.
Either way, Jamal comes into the game. I don't know if you guys caught this, Drew, Kate. I don't know if you caught this. So Jamal comes in the game. He's down in the left corner when they finally do get the ball across half court. And then he gets a skip pass thrown to him because he's wide open for a three. But he's not ready to play because he's been ice cold. And so he actually is like, oh, shoot. And then had to kind of like dribble and pass it off. He was not ready to shoot that whatsoever.
Yeah, see, for me, it's like Malone is trying his hardest to keep his team safe, but then again, he's trying to get that number one seed, and I think that earlier when he tried to play it off as if we get the number one seed, great. Like, no, you guys want it. Of course, why would you not if you have it right in your hands? And so as a coach, I think sometimes he can get ahead of himself and just want to win the game and dominate the game, and he's comfortable with his guys being on the court, whether it's Jamal Murray, Jokic. Somebody has to be on that court at all times in his head, which I understand. He's a coach. He's a coach. But at the
end, what is he?
He's a coach. The coaches.
He's a coach. I got you. No, he is. He is. You're right. And that's why he holds his team to a high standard.
Yeah.
That's why every night he tries to impart, it's all about habits. That's the one thing. If you want to listen to Bednar and then listen to Michael Malone, the one consistent theme you'll hear are habits, details, and focus. And those are three traits that typically their teams embody. They have those.
It's crazy you say that because I've always thought that the Avs and the Nuggets, they kind of like, they do similar things. Like the coaching styles are similar. It's like they have Bednar and Malone go together and go have coffee and talk about how to be the greatest coach because they do similar things. And maybe it's just because that's what winners do. And both of them have winning styles and do winning things.
I don't know if that's ever happened.
No?
I don't know how well those two guys know each other. I know they work in the same building,
exactly.
But I don't know.
You know that they have to at least talk to each other at least once or twice. Coach, what do you think about this?
Maybe at like a function. Drew, what do you think? Those two guys know each other? I don't. Every time Michael Malone brings up the Avs, it's like he's got no frame of reference. And I know he's locked into the Nuggets, but I don't know how much he really follows.
Yeah, I'd be shocked if he knew much about what was going on with the Avs at all. No, Jokic probably has more of a clue what's going on with the Avs than Michael Malone does.
Maybe.
Honestly.
Well, I think Bednar, I don't think it's the same way the other way.
No,
I think Bednar pays attention to just
too.
About everything.
We know Joe Sakic does.
For
we know
sure.
Joe Sakic's in the court side of the Nuggets game, yeah.
Yeah, no question about it. So the Nuggets with a big win over Miami. Next up, Victor Wembanyama in San Antonio. Was it Saturday, that game? Saturday, guys?
I think it's Saturday. Isn't the game in Austin?
It is in Austin.
The game's in Austin, right. Yeah.
So are they playing at UT then?
I would assume so, yeah, because I think they got a new arena down there.
Yeah, they did, because it used to be the Frank.
The Irwin Center.
Yeah. Okay, all right. Well, it's in Austin, so they're playing at a college basketball arena. Oh, Texas isn't going
to
be using it.
And just to explain to our listeners, this is this San Antonio's way of promoting to their fan base beyond San Antonio. They're trying to basically capture the entire south region of Texas. So they do one or two games a year where they get a chance to kind of go to a new audience and try something different.
That's cool. They're kind of trophy-wifing Victor Wembanyama. Just bringing him around like a show pony, showing him off a little bit. Hey, I don't know if you've been paying attention to Victor Wembanyama, obviously the first overall pick in this last year's NBA draft. He's starting to come on.
He's a stud.
He's starting to come on. I mean, he's built like elastic, man. I don't know if you saw that dunk he had the other night, guys, where he kind of went baseline, scooped the ball. His hand was under the ball, and then it went to over the ball, and he didn't change hands. It was pretty incredible. What do you think his ceiling looks like, KJ? I don't know. I'm not sure.
Now, who does he remind you of?
Nobody. He's one of one.
Nobody. Yeah. Dude, he's the. You want to talk about a unicorn? He's a one of one. And
like he makes Giannis look small.
True.
He makes everybody look small. I don't know what his ceiling is because we haven't seen anything like him.
We haven't, man. I honestly think his ceiling will be as high as he wants it to be, and I'm not trying. As long as he stays healthy.
Yeah, I agree with you there,
man. He could be a mix between Hakeem Olajuwon and LeBron James. Like, that's kind of what we're talking about here.
We'll see how it goes. I mean, he's going to need some talent around him. It's going to take him some time. But the Nuggets' next opponent in Austin, thank you for the note there, boys, is against San Antonio. Transitioning to the ice, where last night, if you stayed up, boy, were you rewarded with a treat. The Avalanche, according to Nathan MacKinnon, and according to this observer, their best win of the season last night in Vancouver, second night of a back-to-back, in overtime. Avs go down 3-0, 2-0 in the first period. It kind of felt like the Calgary game where you got outplayed for the most part in the first period again.
Yeah, and honestly, they could have, Canucks could have went up 3-0 on them in the first period. Mm-hmm. They had an opportunity, they didn't do it, which helped us out.
Yeah.
Right? They end up getting in the second period, but man, I'm tired of the comebacks, Matt. I'm tired.
They're the comeback kids.
For real. I truly, when they got down to, down 0-3, I turned it off because I was like, okay, there's no way they're going to
You quit, huh?
I did, man.
You
I was
quit,
that
huh?
quitter. I should have known.
Yes.
Nathan MacKinnon on that ice, there's no quitting that man.
Well, and they showed it last night. I think they took a really big step, especially because they made a ton of moves at the deadline. They brought in four new skaters.
They did.
Okay, so that's a pretty significant chunk of your team. It's going to feel different. It's going to feel like a new team in the locker room. You need character building wins. You need team building wins. And that's one that you can put in the bank. And when you get to playoffs, face a little deficit.
Pull it out.
Well, you just say, well, I don't know if you do that. I mean, hold on. Slow down. I don't know. Slow down.
We all know Val Light.
This is radio. Slow down. But what you can do is you can reference that game and go, boys, now we've done this before. Nobody blink here. We know we can come back.
Yeah.
Don't do what Phil said. I mean, geez, might get yourself in trouble.
Val, don't be listening to me, Val. We need you. We need
Let's
you,
Let's move on. That's the third time the Avalanche this season have come back from down 3-0. They
Crazy.
Did it at Dallas in November, at Toronto early January, and then yesterday in Vancouver. First time any team in NHL history has three games in a year where they trailed 3-0 at one point, but then allowed no goals the rest of the way and came back to win. Four unanswered last night, right?
Yep.
Five unanswered the night before in Calgary. Good building blocks here for the Avalanche. But what I was most impressed about, and I know the advanced analytics tell a bit of a different story, but the Avs got their asses kicked, okay, in that first period. I know that Bednar said after the game he was happy with the full 60-minute effort. Please. You got out-checked all over the ice. Vancouver hit anything that moved. They were great in the neutral zone. They absolutely stifled the Avs' top line. They didn't allow much by way of a breakout, and they were on top of pucks.
Yeah.
They were winning puck battles. That was playoff hockey. So much so where I thought that was the best period of hockey. Drew, I know you watch a lot. That was the best period of hockey I've seen from the Canucks, probably this version of them ever. That was impressive.
I would agree, and they're doing it with guys like JT and Miller, man. That dude's a stud. Him and Elias Pettersson.
Really good.
Really, really good dudes.
Really good.
The funny part, when you're watching Vancouver, is, you know, we kept hearing before the trade deadline, like, Elias Lindholm.
Yeah, they could flip him again.
They could flip again, yeah.
Yeah.
Dude, this guy's been MIA. Like, yeah. What, we've watched two games against Canucks now?
Casper, the friendly.
I didn't realize the dude was playing.
Me neither.
So I think the Avs dodged a major, major bullet. But, yeah, I agree with you. I think Vancouver looked really, really good last night. They're a team, I think, they play kind of a heavier style, which I think could give Colorado problems.
I agree.
If they end up meeting in the Western Conference Finals. But, listen.
It's going to be a hard road to get there for them. They're going to have to go through Edmonton and Vegas if they want to get there. So,
well, speaking of Miller, Manson didn't like him too much.
No, he didn't. Well, you know.
He doesn't like what you and Drew are talking about. I'm saying he's going to be really good. He said, I handled him. He did.
JT Miller last year, there were a lot of talks that he was going to get shipped out of Vancouver. Vancouver was about to blow up that team before they hired Rick Tocchet, their new coach. And now he ought to win the Jack Adams in a runaway this year, really, which is the NHL's award for coach of the year. But to me, that was a playoff type
atmosphere.
Game. It was the game, and the atmosphere was okay. The Avs started coming back, and Vancouver fans, they've seen that one too many times. They started to tuck their tail between the legs. It was a dead vibe because that Vancouver crowd for years, I mean, since the Sedin twins, the Sedin sisters were there, you know, they really haven't had much to look forward to.
Avs fans love that.
We respect Henrik and Daniel
Sedin. Well, it's like they put a switch on, man. They put a switch on like the Denver Nuggets where they know it's like, all right, it's time to play. And even though they're down, they stay consistent. They stay with the game plan. You said that earlier, Matt. They stick with what they do best. They stick with what they know what to do. They don't get rattled. All right, and I think that's because you have some really, really great players, some of the best players in hockey on the team.
Yeah, they stuck with their structure last night, and it eventually paid off. They called Vancouver's bluff that Vancouver couldn't play that way for more than, you know, or at least a full 60. They couldn't play, and the Avs are one of the best third-period teams in the NHL. They whittled it down. Now, the 5-on-3 call, the McKinnon hooking, that's got all of Canada's panties up in a bunch right now. You should have seen the, oh, what a soft call. This guy's supposed to be the best skater in the, all over social media. It's get over yourself. There's a missed call. You put a stick on a guy's hands, it's a hook 10 out of 10. It's just the way it's called.
It is what it is.
Was it a bit of a softer call? Yeah, a little bit. It wasn't like the strongest hook in the world.
We gotta get some luck sometimes though, Matt.
You gotta get a break every once in a while.
Puck luck.
Still, you've gotta capitalize.
You do.
And the Avs only had about 30 seconds, maybe 40 seconds of the 5-on-3. They cashed to make it 3-2, tie it up 3-3. Ross Colton's goal at 3-3. That's why they brought Ross Colton to Colorado. He's on his knees. Right in front of the crease. Great shift. As a playoff hockey shift.
They didn't want to give it to him at first, right?
Then they couldn't see if it went over the goal line. Yeah.
Shame
great goal there. And then Nichushkin again. Off the grill. Off the heezy in overtime.
Now,
right off
puck,
the face.
Is that called puck luck? Is that right there?
That's the definition.
A little bit of puck luck.
That's the definition of puck luck.
I finally got to see it.
Definition of puck luck.
Let's go!
Sometimes, and you know what? That area and the boys over at Chicklets, they call that area right in front of the net the mixer. Sometimes you just got to throw it in there. You never know what kind of bounces you may get.
Yeah.
You know, just springs. And three of the four goals for the Avs last night, greasers, you know, just getting pucks on net. Not something they were able to do the first period and a half. They only had like 10, 11 shots through about, I don't know, 35 minutes of that game. And then eventually they wore Vancouver down and they lean on you with their speed. And now that they've got some of these new faces. We talked about Duhaime before. We talked about him yesterday, Brandon Duhaime, the depth piece. Guess what? Playing a lot more in the depth piece right now. Brandon Duhaime, I thought, was great last night. I think that's your Logan O'Connor replacement, Drew.
I think it is, too. In fact, I'm glad you brought that up because I was just looking at on Twitter here, and Corey Massasek, who covers the team for the Denver Post, had a stat talking about Brandon Duhaime. It says shots on goal at 5-on-5 in the past three games when he is on the ice. Avalanche with 24. The other guys with 7.
Yeah, it's because he's got a little piss and vinegar in his game. He'll get in your face. And even he said when he first got here, he plays an aggressive, in-your-face style. And you need that in the bottom six. The Avs didn't really have that, and then they got him. I thought Yakov Trenin was good. He drew a penalty last night, an important one.
So the moves the Avs made, they're great right now. Is it A?
I told you, give me 10.
I know.
Give me 10
I'm
games.
I'm going to keep asking you,
I'm very encouraged right now. I'm very encouraged right now. Casey Mittelstadt, I thought, really struggled the first period and a half. And then he started to pick things up. He made some good defensive plays. And I thought, look, that line, Trenin, Duhaime, and Mittelstadt, that was essentially their second line last night because they were without Jonathan Drouin, Zach Parise, and Arturi Lehkonen.
And with that being said, Val would probably be on the second line with someone like Casey Mittelstadt if they would have had some of those players back, correct?
Maybe. But when you put Nichushkin with MacKinnon and Rantanen, that's the best line
in
hockey.
He's unstoppable.
It's kind of the way it was with Landeskog. I don't think anybody comes close across the league, huh?
No, I don't think so either. I mean, the only team I could
Connor and Leon, but they don't play together.
They don't play together all that often. Boston with Pastrnak and Marchand.
Not anymore without Bergeron.
Exactly. Yeah, it's I can't think of another one that's on that level with Nichushkin, Val, Nichushkin, MacKinnon, and Rantanen. I can't.
I think they're the best line in hockey.
Line, right?
I don't know. You can move him around. The thing about Nichushkin is he's a driver and a generator. He can be that guy as well, much more so than Lehkonen is. And Lehkonen, since returning from injury the back half of this season, he's been really good in front of the net on that top line. And I think Nichushkin kind of could help boost Casey Mittelstadt.
That's what I was thinking, more of like just keep him on that second line with Casey. I think it helps kind of balance things.
It definitely does. But per, different matchups against different teams, sometimes you want a couple of dogs out there on the top line. And
I love me some dogs now.
I know you do, Phil. You're a dog yourself. Look, we'll take some of your reaction on the text line. We'll also get into the CU and CSU game they got coming up tonight. All that and more as we wrap up here soon on The Drive.
Hey, I love it. Hey, Jerry, go get my helmet.
Run through a wall right now on a Thursday. Shout out Ladies Night. Thursday's a ladies' night. It might not be a lot of ladies out there tonight if you're trying to go out on a Thursday night ladies' night. Be safe. Be safe. Yeah.
What they used to call it, Thirsty Thursday.
Thirsty Thursday, ladies' night, however you want to approach it. However you want to approach it. Just might have to adjust your plans tonight. That's all I'll say.
Get some hot cocoa in there.
Yeah.
Cocoa Thursday or something.
Yeah, a little Irish coffee. Maybe something like that.
The night might be the night to pull out that old black book.
That old black book. Start digging in the back of the closet, making some calls. Okay. I haven't talked to you in a couple of years. How you doing? How's your mom? How's your dad? Everybody doing all right? It's 2 feet of snow outside. Leave me alone. It's 2 a.m. Is that what you're thinking, KJ? Okay. Hey, by the way, I don't know if you saw this, but an estimate projects that $2.72 billion in wagers are about to be made on the NCAA tournament coming up.
That's wild.
$2.72 billion. Well, if you don't want to actually throw any cash down, but you want a chance to win $5,000, do I have an offer for you? DenverSports.com/hoops. Compete in the Sport Clips 5K Bracket Challenge.
Uh-oh.
Compete against me. You might actually be able to get me in one of our challenges. No, I mean, only the rare few listeners have gotten me in the fan football pick'em.
Look at Matt.
You might have a chance because the tournament, I might as well go I might as well go buy a Mega Millions ticket, okay,
to
hit this tournament. That means the playing field is leveled. So if you want a chance at 5K, denversports.com/hoops, Sport Clips 5K Bracket Challenge. The last time you can make an entry is next Thursday. So a week from today, that's when everything really gets underway. I'm looking forward to it. It is conference tournament week. And Gary on the text line says, hey, what about the Buffs and the Rams? He said, hey, Zach. Well, Zach's not here today. Matt Smith's in for Zach. We don't know if Zach's going to be back tomorrow yet.
How the weather
by
is,
ear.
Man.
You'll know he's back. You'll know he was able to make it back if he's on with you tomorrow.
Oh, yeah.
And if not, guess who? Guess who on a Friday?
Don't tell me.
Yours Truly.
Okay, yes, don't tell me I'm going to have to take everything on myself.
Yes, that's right. Rams in action at 7 o'clock tonight to tip off. Rams and Nevada. The Wolfpack. Steve Alford's Wolfpack. All right, Drew, it's a 7 going against a 2 tonight at 7 o'clock on CBS Sports Network.
You got it. Also, you can listen to the game on our sister station, ESPN 1600 as well. But yeah, Rams trying to solidify themselves in the tournament tonight against a good Nevada team.
Yeah, good Nevada team. Yeah, not really, a great Nevada team.
No, I mean, a pretty good Nevada team. They gave them trouble when they played the game in Reno earlier this year. You look at the rest of the Mountain West, you know, kind of bragging right now. By the way, did you see Fresno State took Utah State to overtime today?
I saw that. Yeah. Then Utah State finally kind of pulled their heads out of the sand.
Winning by 12, yeah. Now you got San Diego State, UNLV going out of San Diego State with a lead in that one. But big game for the Rams. I think it'd be good for them to get a little bit of momentum. You know, right now they're looking at a 9 seed in the tournament, according to Joe Lenardi. So go out and get a win tonight. Get a nice little win over a ranked team, a Nevada team that's, you know, 23-6 this year. It's a good opportunity for the Rams.
They're getting ready to play, right? It's getting ready to be on
7 o'clock. Yeah.
7 o'clock, CBS Sports Network. Got an hour and a half.
Dang, I thought it was going to be on at like 6.
And then 2.5 hours after that. So you might actually be able to watch the Rams game in its entirety before the Buffs game tips off, because the Buffs have the finale tonight at the T-Mobile Arena out there in Vegas. Pac-12 tournament action. 3rd-seeded Colorado. What is Utah? 8th-seeded? 8th-seeded Utah?
Utah's a 6, I think.
A 6-seed.
Yeah, I think they're a 6.
6? The Buffs are 3?
The Buffs are 3.
Uh-oh. Viva Las Vegas!
I hope so, man. Colorado now a 4.5-point favorite. Game opened at about 3.5, so it's moved a full point towards Colorado. This team, these two teams split the season series. Utah won in Salt Lake. Colorado won in Boulder a couple of weeks ago. Utah wrapped the season 19-13, and Drew is correct. Utah a 6-seed. So the Buffs and Utes, that's a Fox Sports 1 game.
Yeah.
Hey, you'll be able to watch a game that's not blacked out. So here's what you're going to do. You're going to put everybody to sleep. I mean, we're supposed to get 3 to 7 inches of snow overnight, according to the National Weather Service.
According to Drew.
Or NOAA. What's NOAA again? By Friday, for sure, we're going to have this down. National Oceanic Aardvark Association.
Atmospheric
Administration.
There you go.
There we go.
I'm not totally sure on the administration part, by the way. I think it is.
I'm pretty sure it's got to be administration. Yeah, I think it is. What else would it be? Association?
No.
The second A in NOAA? Maybe. All right. Probably not. Regardless, Buffs and Utes tonight. Cody Williams, projected potential top 5 pick in the draft. He's supposed to be back for the Buffs tonight. He's missed a few games in a row here. And if Colorado wants to make a run in the tournament, they need him. Tad Boyle talked about potentially bringing him off the bench. I think that's the way to go.
I think it's a smart idea to let him kind of get acclimated back to the game. And also, the lineup he had out there when Cody Williams was out has been clicking. You know, why would you want to mess that up?
KJ Simpson, he's been really good.
Yes.
He's been really good. He should have probably won Pac-12 Player of the Year, but that went to Caleb Love at Arizona, former North Carolina guard. Where did Caleb, and Michigan? Michigan as well, played there for a year as well. Look at that. Not just a hat rack up here, my friends.
Hey, I got a question for you.
Hit me.
So I personally think that they should let him come off the bench through the entirety of the tournament.
I do too.
No matter how far they go, because it creates a mismatch. You have to make a decision if you're the coach. Do I keep my best defender out there as this kid is coming in off the bench and potentially put him in foul trouble, overextend his minutes, things of that nature, versus do I just stick to my game plan? You make the coach have to make a decision on the other side.
I love that, and that's exactly where my head's at, because it also forces Cody to say, you've got to be our spark off the bench. The one thing that scouts have knocked on Cody Williams this year is that he hasn't been consistently assertive and aggressive. Against Colorado State, when they played the Rams up in Fort Collins, the Rocky Mountain Showdown, he was held scoreless in the first half. He had 21 in the second half. If Cody is the aggressive, assertive version of himself, that's when he's at his best.
Well, tell me this then, Matt. Him coming off the bench, does that affect him for the draft? Does that affect him in scouts' eyes of him having to come off the bench? Because you know a young man like that's going to be prideful, be pouting because he has to come off the bench, knowing that he could be one of the top dogs in the draft.
Oh, sorry. I heard something in my ear because KJ, and it's Kathy J. Stop it, Kathy J. We love you, Kathy J. the point was, no, I don't think it affects his draft stock any more than it already has been. It's
He was rumored at one point to potentially be the number one overall pick.
Yes, well, he was.
That's since changed, but he does have something to prove. I don't think right now individual goals are not above the team.
For
this
sure.
is the postseason. We are all in. I think that the coaching staff might take a little pleasure in having him come off the bench in that regard. I'm not exactly sure, though. You'd have to ask them about that one. Interestingly enough, ESPN's matchup predictor on ESPN.com, according to ESPN Analytics, 55% chance they give the Utes to win tonight. They're down on ESPN Analytics, down on the Buffs. Not Matt. Matt got it in last night.
I mean, can you blame him, though?
What's that?
Being
that
down on the Buffs? Yeah, can you blame them just because of how they have been playing until they got on this streak at the end here? Underwhelming.
Yes.
You know?
No, I can't blame them. I can't blame them. But Colorado has won 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 games in a row.
They did.
And that streak started at USC in the Galen Center. The second time this season they had been down more than 15 points to USC and then still came back to win. They won 92-89, kind of sparked them a little bit. Tristan Da Silva, Oscar Da Silva's younger brother, he was at Stanford for all those years. Da Silva had not been playing all that well throughout the majority of this season, just way too inconsistent. But these last six games, his best basketball of his senior year.
MPJ! MPJ!
That MPJ factor.
He's been talking to MPJ.
God, Phil, I'm not going to be able to not think about that now when I watch the game. That's wonderful. Thank you for that. All right, we come back and wrap it up with the top five on the other side.
It's time for the Drive's top five.
Not two, not three, not four.
Presented by High Five Plumbing. Here's Zach and Phil.
Count them. 1, 2, 3, 4. We talked about Wack Arnold a little earlier before. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. There's another great Chappelle sketch. Top five presented by High Five Plumbing. Boy, this is a Drew segment. Drew not even here. He's just
Drew,
MIA.
Drew ran away.
Drew went back to the hotel.
He was like, you know what? I'm tired of
this. He heard they're closing the bar down again for the second night in a row, doing another sleepover. Apparently, everybody had a good time last night. That's what I heard. I know you and I were not a part of the festivities.
No, man.
No. We had the house party last night. All right, top five. What are you going to be locking into tonight? No Avs or Nuggets, but we do have a little college basketball on the slate.
Well, Matt, you know we have to lock into this Colorado game. Even the CSU Rams.
Got to lock into them both.
You know, you have to respect them. But mainly it's going to be Colorado. Can they get over the hump? Can they win? Can they beat the Utes in Vegas? Or did they have too much fun yesterday?
We'll I don't think they had any fun yesterday.
Yeah,
I think Tad's got those boys locked in.
Tad makes sure everything is tight.
Yeah. We're going to find out, though. All right, so that's a 9:30 tip-off on Fox Sports 1. Unlike the Nuggets game yesterday, you'll be able to watch this one.
Let's go!
And you'll be able to watch the Rams on CBS Sports Network at 7 o'clock if you have that, too. Let's kick it behind the glass. Drew Spivak.
I wish I had something more fun and entertaining to say that was going to be different from you guys. But, yeah, I'm watching college hoops tonight, boys, with the two local teams in town. I think both of them are going to get wins tonight. In fact, I actually think both of them are going to end up playing in their respective conference championship games.
Ooh.
Wow.
Yeah. I'm going to go that far.
Hot take, huh?
Yeah, a little hot take. I know CSU struggled a little bit yesterday with San Jose State, but I think maybe it's a little bit of a wake-up call. They knock off Nevada tonight, make a run to the conference championship game, get themselves maybe a little bit higher seed in the tournament. I don't think either one of them is going to win their conference games or the conference championships, but I got them both getting there.
KJ. Well, women's basketball game, bro. Well, who we got tonight?
Nobody special tonight. And there's no disrespect, but
wow, sounds disrespectful to me.
We're coming to the end of Champ Week. So
there's got to be some good championship games, no?
No, they had most of that happened last week. South Carolina, LSU.
Checking ESPN right now. It looks like Alabama A&M and Arkansas Pine Bluff are in second half action for.
I was just saying, in the SWAC matchup.
Woo! I mean, I know you're a SWAC guy.
First and foremost, I don't even have to watch the SWAC anymore because Jackson State has won the last 4 SWAC championships. So they're going to win a 5th straight. So I'm not even worried there.
Ooh, okay.
Not even worried. Sorry, did you say Jackson State?
I did.
Then give me my theme music.
Uh-oh.
Speaking of which, Coach Prime's on his book tour. lining up to get that book signed by Coach Prime.
You gonna do it?
Oh, I'm sure he's got a special inscription for me. I'm sure he's got a note tailored just for me. Nah.
You don't believe?
I believe. I'm the one saying, Coach, tank for your son.
Next question.
Believe. Wasn't me.
Tank for your son. Look at you.
That's
Look
what
at
I've
you.
Been saying. I believe.
That's why he doesn't want nobody battling with Jarrett Stidham.
Because he's ready for Shedeur.
Shame on you, Matt.
Sean's long play. Well, that's why I don't want anyone. Yeah. I don't care. Bring in whoever you want, Jimmy G. You want Ryan Tannehill?
Bring him in.
Bring him. You know what? Sign them all.
Justin Fields.
I like this idea. We'll have Justin Fields. Instead of, you brought up, you want to see the Broncos on Hard Knocks?
Yeah, I do.
I think that's a wonderful idea. Let's turn Hard Knocks this year into some sort of free agent quarterback survivor where we do some sort of game show. Winner gets to compete with Jarrett Stidham for the job. What do you think? I think that's a great
idea.
Yeah, why not?
Why not just bring people in off the street at this point?
Survivor or Bachelor with Sean Payton, huh?
All I'm saying, Drew, is if I didn't have six tears in this shoulder,
I'd give
you a 40-yard bomb.
Can you?
Yeah. I'd be absolutely crushed. You know what I would be? I'd be laying there like Wayne Knight in Space Jam where they stick the hose to him and they pull it out. You remember and he goes all around the arena? Yeah, that'd be me. All right, what am I watching tonight? I'm obviously watching the Buffs and the Rams. I don't know if I'm going to have time, but for the sake of being different, I guess it depends upon Zach. If Zach's coming back, then maybe I'll have time, and if not, maybe I won't. Masters of the Air. I think it's the season finale on Apple TV tonight. Really, really good show. Been interesting so far. Actually, I'll say really good show. It's been a good show. Kind of starting to tail off, some questionable decisions. But I don't know. I like the World War II stuff. And it's about flying the old planes up in World War II. What a scary experience that must have been. Up there in a tin can. I mean, unbelievable. Bogeys like fireflies all over the skies. I'll be watching that. KJ, how was The Good Doctor? Did you watch The Good Doctor?
I did. It was good.
It was good, Doctor?
Man, that Good Doctor boy. No, I'm just kidding. listen, no, the show itself was good.
I need to see Dune 2 as well.
Yeah.
I got to make my way to the movie theater to see that. I'm a big movie guy. Big movie and TV guy. Big one. Man. I know you're not.
I like him.
Just like Kyle on Sundays. I always give Kyle a hard time.
I like him.
There's not a movie that Phil hasn't seen.
No, I've seen every single movie. Growing up, that's all we've been.
Wait. Hold on. You've seen every single
every
movie.
What kind of a statement is that?
I've seen every single movie.
Give me a movie.
Cocktail.
Give me an older one. So where are you going that far?
Just said every single movie. Come on now. Where are you going that far?
Cha-ching. Got him. I keep receipts.
I think what he means to say was, I've seen every single movie since I've been born.
For sure.
Not something,
well,
you know, a great 80s
that
classic.
I've seen.
Okay, all right. Let me come up with another one. Edge of Tomorrow.
I've seen that one.
Mm-hmm. Who stars?
If I had to guess?
Mm-hmm.
I was going to say, if I had to guess, maybe Tom Cruise.
No, how did you know? That's a good guess. You're right. He does. Emily Blunt.
For some reason, sometimes I have an angel on my shoulder that talks through to me, you know?
Can I just tell you, if I'm throwing movie titles at you, it's pretty safe to assume Tom Cruise is in.
You like Tom?
Do I? No, just a little bit. Have you guys heard that before? That I'm a no, maybe not. You probably haven't. I haven't ever brought it up on air before.
So. No, it's not like there's this infamous movie that you continue to reference called Top Gun or anything.
No, I thought you were
gonna say Top Gun.
Which is why I went out of left field on you and had to pull out a little deeper cut from the back catalog. All right, let me get off of Tom Cruise, okay? Let me think of another one. Since Phil's been born here.
1994, man.
American made.
Mm-hmm. Tom Cruise.
God, boy. He didn't fall for it. What a way to end the show.
Oh, man.
What a way to end the show. Also, another Tom Cruise film. He plays Barry Seal. He was the runner
remember,
for the Escobars.
I remember the look of it, yeah.
Yeah. And that was, you know, we'll see. He's just gearing up for his post-action career.
Didn't he kind of come out with another one?
Another what? Mission?
Yeah.
Absolutely. And then he's going to space. We may actually say goodbye to Tom's character and Tom upon reentry. Who knows what happens? This man is willing to push it till the ends of the earth, and quite literally, gentlemen, further. Thanks for locking in. We hope you drive safe. Looks like a sloppy mess. We're about to get out in it with you. Be safe, everybody. Phil will talk to you tomorrow. Maybe I will. Nice little surprise.